Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for life. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have once again to assemble here in your house together. Lord, you know our hearts today. You know, Lord, our needs. And God, I pray, Lord, today that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God, Lord, and penetrate our lives and our minds and our hearts. And God, reveal to us exactly what we need during this time. Father, I pray you bless everyone that's assembled here today. You know our lives, you know our needs, and God, we commit ourselves to you now and ask again for your will to be accomplished today. Bless the boys and girls upon the hill, Lord, as the Word of God is being presented to them. And God, I just pray you bless on the service, pray in the hearts of everyone here today. Lord, we know, Lord, you're able, and God, we trust you, Lord, to deal with every heart. Lord, most of all, if there's one here that's lost today, I pray you might save their soul today before they leave this place. And again, Lord, we ask you to be with our pastor, Ms. Ennis. Watch over them, protect them, guide them, and bless our people here today. We thank you for them being back in your house today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Very interesting book. Again, don't forget, camp meeting starts tomorrow night week at 7 o'clock. I tell you, I'm ready for it, aren't you? We went to a meeting Thursday night down in Fremont, and man, God moved down there, and it was a very interesting, very good service, and I understand the service Friday night was very good too, and had a lot of our youth to go down to a meeting, and it was always good to get out and hear other men of God preach the Word of God and to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Always a blessing, it really is, and thank you for being here today, and you know, as I stand here today, someone asked, are you nervous? Yes, I'm nervous. I always am when I stand in God's pulpit. This is the place to be nervous, folks. It really is. This is a serious place, and I thank God for the opportunity today to speak to you. And I trust, again, the Word of God will be what you need today. I know it's always what we need, and no matter when it's presented. So, Book of Revelation, chapter number 3. I want to begin reading with verse number 14. Revelation 3, verse 14. Jesus is writing here. He's speaking to churches here. In the book of Revelation, we find it was written between 95 and 100 AD. And during that time, we find that there existed probably at least 100 churches that were separate and independent local Baptist, local churches during that time. And Jesus has chosen now in the chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation to write to 7 of those churches. He picked out 7 specific churches that he wrote to. And we're going to look this morning at the last church he wrote to, the church of Laodicean. Now, in verse number 14, he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I have love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, here we have, recorded in the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself speaking to churches. He's trying to share his heart with these people in these churches. And if you notice, all 7 churches, from Ephesus right on down until Laodicea, there's 4 words that Jesus Christ himself speaks clearly to these churches. And it's found in verse number 19. Notice the first 4 verses, 4 words and verse number 19. I know thy what? Works. Say it with me. I know thy works. Jesus Christ was assuring them that he knew what was going on. I know thy works. He tells them here. And he tells all these churches here the same thing. And all, of course, much more than that. But we see here that he knows the works of all churches. Even Fellowship Baptist Church, folks, he knows our works. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're trying to do. He knows what we're trying to accomplish here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We see here that as Jesus Christ speaks to these churches, he directs to them a message at this time. Now, this message that he directs to them is a message that could be applied in all church ages. I'm talking about from Pentecost right on to the rapture of the church. These same messages can be applied in our day-to-day in which we live. We also see that these churches are a prophetic preview, if you please, of seven periods of time from the time of, again, Pentecost right on to the rapture. He says nothing bad about the church at Philadelphia, but he says nothing good about the church at Laodicea, as he speaks here, you see. Laodicea was approximately 11 miles west of Colossae. Laodicea was a wealthy place. They made many garments. They were rich in garments. They were rich in, they had a big medical school. Also, we see that not only that, but they produced eye salve, which was good for health issues in people's lives. And this church, this place was a flourishing town, a flourishing place in this time. We also see that we have here the last phase of the professing church. The last phase of the professing, the church leaving its first love. This church has left its first love, and now we see that God had left the church. Ichabod was on the door. They had left their first love. And we see this is what took place. Church life today, we need to be careful. Church life today can become very mechanical. You know that? It can become very routine. And sad to say, in some places it is. It's very much routine. There can be clubs, there can be social functions, there can be all kinds of organizations doing different things in churches. But the main function of the church is to preach the gospel and teach the word of God. Amen. And we need to be emphasizing that. And thank God this is the church that a pastor has raised up a group of people that do that. Amen. And we thank all of you that participate in any way, your teachers, all you workers, bus workers, and all you people that do these things around here at the church. We see, this is a little, there is little warm-hearted spirituality in a church that goes through all of these clubs. I've witnessed, and you have too, I'm sure, in situations like this. But we see here, Christ has the name on the church, but Christ is excluded from the church. He's no longer there at this time. We see Jesus speaking here in verse number 20, of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Be sure I stand at the door and knock." Here is a Christless church. Jesus is standing in the door wanting to come in. And they don't want no part of him at all. We see here in Revelation 3:20 a gospel invitation. A gospel invitation. Oftentimes, if you get the opportunity to go out to witness to people, and especially when you win somebody to Christ, this is a good verse to complete the conversation with. It's a good verse. We see a gospel invitation here. Christ stands outside the door of this apostate church. He is left outside of their plans. He's left outside of their programs. He's left even outside of their hearts. And yet they still call themselves a church. They still call themselves a church. And we find this is the closing out again of the church age. He is willing to come into a life of an individual that will invite him. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I stand at the door and knock. It is an invitation to come to him here before the night of the great tribulation. Folks, from chapter 3, verse 22, throughout the book of Revelation, the rest of Revelation, you hear nothing about the church. This is the end. This is the end. The next thing is moving in is going to be the great tribulation period later on in time, whenever the church age is over with. And only God himself knows when that is. Only God himself knows when that is. But notice here, we find here, I want you to picture with me this morning, this. There was a great artist named Holman Hunt. He painted a picture of Christ as the light of the world. And when he painted this picture, he painted a beautiful door, big, beautiful door, as an artist. And in front of that door, a picture of Jesus Christ standing in that door. He painted that beautiful piece of art, and it is hung it up in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. As far as I know, it still is there today. I'm not sure. But he placed it there. Excuse me. And people began to come by and look at this great piece of art. And it was beautiful. But one person came by, and he asked the artist, "Sir, listen, you got a beautiful picture here. I love this picture. It's a beautiful picture of Christ, a beautiful picture of a door. But you got one problem with this picture." He said, "What's that?" He says, "You don't have a doorknob on the door as Jesus is facing." And the artist says this. He says, "The doorknob is inside. The doorknob is inside." Now, in saying that, I want to say this to you today. As we looked this morning, there was a guest at the door. There was a guest at the door, okay? And as we look at the guest at the door, I want us to think about this. God's attitude towards men and women away from God. God's attitude towards men and women away from God. Now, away from God can be lost. Away from God can be out of fellowship with God. Either way, men and women sometimes are away from God. What is God's attitude towards men and women that are away from God? We see it here in this passage of Scripture right here. You see, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Jesus said, "I knock." Now, notice something here. What is that? Knocking. What is knocking? It's an indication that someone is present, right? Someone is there. Someone is the present. When your door bell rings or somebody knocks at your door, you know somebody's out there. And 9 times out of 10, it comes when you're not ready, right? You're not ready. But sometimes there's a knock, knocking. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." A knocking announces someone is present. Knocking also is asking for entrance or admission. You know, you go out on soul winning, go out visitation, you knock on the door. And when you knock on that door, you hope somebody's going to come to that door. And if somebody comes to that door, you ask, you know, to talk to them. You don't always get asked in, especially nowadays. You used to years ago, but very seldom now do you get to be asked in. But what I'm saying here, knocking is very, very important. Knocking implies the desire to be admitted. The desire to be admitted. Knocking also recognizes the right of those that dwell in that house. Whenever there's a knock, they either open the door to us or they do not open the door to us. I've had both ways, and I'm sure you have too, at visitation. But sometimes, you know, you go to a house and you say, "Well, I wonder if anybody's here," and you knock and somebody comes to the door, somebody don't. But sometimes you go there and you know people there and you knock on the door and they won't let you in, right? They won't let you in because they consider you a whoever, you know? But anyway, we find here, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and" what? "Knock." I'm knocking. I stand at the door and knock. Now, we see here as the Savior, as he approaches this church right here, he's closing out this proselyte church. We find here that he approaches by knocking. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. Why does God choose to knock? Knocking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I can recall in my life, as I grew up, a young boy coming up in Sunday school and church, there was many times I went to church and God was knocking at my heart's door. He was knocking at my heart's door. And I thank God today for those times that he knocked at my door. I thank God for he knocking at my heart's door. But we see here, when the Savior approaches you or I or anybody individually, he does it through knocking. He does it through knocking. Now, he uses his word, and also he uses the Holy Spirit to do that whenever he knocks on somebody's heart. We see here, why does he do this? First of all, he desires to be your friend. Jesus Christ wants to be a friend to everybody. You know that? He loves everybody. He loves everybody. I think of that song, "No, Not One." "There's not a friend like the lowly Savior. No, not one." Amen? There's nobody that can be a better friend to you than Jesus Christ. He desires to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. And whenever you let him be your friend, he's the closest friend that you ever had or that you ever could have. So we see here, first of all, He desires to be your friend whenever he knocks. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. What a friend we have in Jesus. A wonderful song. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, behold, to this church, I stand at the door and knock. I stand there and knock. I wonder if he's saying that to us today. I think he is. Some of you people today are here. Maybe we have one first-time visitor. Glad to have him. But some of us come to church, Sunday school, and come to church. Some of you just come to church. Wherever you're here for Sunday school or church or both, many times people come in this auditorium, I know, without any doubt. And God knocks on their door, knocks on their heart's door, and they do not let him in. They do not let him in. You know, we need to be praying for that, that God would continue to work and to move in hearts of people because he desires to be their friend. He desires to be their friend. Now, we need to be friends to visitors. We need to be friends out there in the world and try to witness to people and talk to people about the Lord. But we can't be a friend to them like Jesus can. We can't be a friend like Jesus can. Jesus is a friend all the time. He's all the time. Now, notice something else. Not only do we see he desires to be a friend but also we see that he recognizes our freedom in this matter. He just says, I stand at the door and what? I stand at the door and knock. He also recognizes our freedom in this situation. We have the freedom to let him be our friend or not. Now, if we admit him to be our friend and ask him to come in, he saves us and dwells within us. Amen? He comes in and dwells within us. But, on the other hand, if we reject him, what does he do? When you come and you hear the gospel and God knocks at your door and you reject him, what does he do? Sometimes, most of the time, he turns quietly away. Okay? He can turn quietly away and say, okay. Also, he may come back again. Perhaps he may come back again if you're in the same situation or a similar situation under the gospel. Or, sad to say, sometimes, after so many times especially, he never comes back. He never knocks anymore. Your heart, people's heart, can get so hardened when God knocks on their heart, they do not hear him. They don't hear him. It just goes right through their ears, so to speak, and they don't hear. They don't pay any attention to what Jesus is doing to them. Jesus, when he's knocking, he's trying to let you know, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I'm trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, let me in. Let me in, folks. I want to be your friend. We see Jesus is knocking. He's knocking. Now, this language can be understood by everybody. I'm talking about this language can be understood by people that sit under the gospel, can't they? They can. Whenever you sit under the gospel and God begins to deal with your heart, he's knocking on your heart's door and he wants to come in. He wants to come in. He's trying his best to get your attention. Now, all the methods by which God seeks and saves a sinner, this is what he does. He knocks. He knocks. He does this. We find knocking is in reference to what would be announced in his presence. When he's knocking, you sense his presence, don't you? He's speaking to you individually. I'm so glad that God does that. I'm so glad he speaks to us as individuals. Not just as a group of people, but he speaks to us, especially concerning the matter of salvation, as an individual. As an individual. We also see it's his word. He speaks to us through his word. When the word of God is preached under the anointing of the Spirit of God, people can hear God knocking. He's knocking on their heart's door. Also, by his Spirit, the Spirit of God, anointing by the word of God, God begins to knock on people's hearts. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. We also see his providence. He's trying to provide for people what they need in their life. Folks, it's so sad today to know and realize that people out there in the world are lost and they don't realize what they need. They're blinded by Satan. They're blinded by Satan. And we also see knocking is an invitation to the gospel, to believe the gospel, believe the record that God has given us of his Son, how Jesus came. He lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again. And now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for mankind. So knocking, we see, is a method that God uses to convict and to draw people to Jesus Christ. It's the matter of knocking. That's whenever we go out on visitation. We need to be careful and realize that it's not what I say, it's not what you say that's going to do anything to people that we talk to. But it's the reading of the Word of God under the anointing of the Spirit of God that's going to knock on somebody's heart. That's what does it, folks. Not what we say, but what God does through His Word and through the Spirit of God. So we see knocking. Why? He desires to be our friend. Why knocking? Because He recognizes our freedom to the matter. God is not going to force anybody to be saved. This is a choice we have to make individually, whether we accept Christ or we do not. And it's up to you and it's up to me whenever we do this. We also see that He comes to us personally. He comes to us personally. I'm glad for that, aren't you? You know, the day that I got saved, there was about seven of us young men sitting up on the front row. When the preacher was preaching that message that day, I did not pay any attention to anybody sitting beside me at all. My mind was not on them at all. But I know one thing, my mind was on what God's man was saying, because he was speaking to me personally. He was knocking on my heart's door. He was knocking on my heart's door, folks. And I'm so glad today to know that whenever I heard that knocking, it wasn't the first time. It had been many times in my life that God had knocked on my heart's door. Whenever invitation time came, I was ready to go get saved. I didn't care what anybody else did. They could stay in the pew if they wanted to. I didn't know. I didn't even know what they were going to do. I just knew it was my time. I went forward and got saved. And after that, we find out six of us got saved the same service. You know, because God was knocking. God had been knocking for years on our lives, on our hearts, you see. And this was the time, folks. This was the time. So we see here that he comes to us personally. Personally. In this crowd this morning that's here, there's no doubt in my heart and mind, God is knocking on somebody's heart. He's knocking on somebody's heart in this room tonight, today. It may be for salvation. It may be for fellowship with God. But God is knocking. Every time the Word of God is proclaimed and preached, God is working, folks. We don't just come to read scriptures out and to, you know, just to come to have fellowship and socialize. We come to ask God to speak to all of our hearts. And God does speak to our hearts through the Word of God, if we'll allow Him to. Allow Him to knock and allow Him to speak to us. And we need to do that. So we see that He comes to us personally. He asks our friendship. He wants to save us when He's knocking. He wants you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. We also see knocking proves the very attempt of reconciliation or salvation. It begins with the Savior. If Jesus Christ did not knock on our heart's door, we will never be saved. We'll never be saved. See, this starts with Jesus Christ. This don't start with you or I. It starts with Him. Listen, I was not looking for Jesus, but He was looking for me. Amen? I thank God that He was looking for me. He was knocking on my heart's door when I went to Sunday school, when I went to church. And at that time, I was not aware of what was taking place, but I know now. See, so we see here the knocking, the expression of knocking proves that the attempt of salvation begins with the Savior, folks. It begins with Him. The Savior presents Himself at the door of the heart of every individual desiring friendship of man. Salvation is never represented as beginning by man or originating by man. Salvation does not originate from man. It comes from God. It comes from God through the working of the Spirit of God. Salvation is this way. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He says, "If any man," what? "Hear my voice and open the door." Hear my voice and open the door. That's what He says. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Open the door is simply admitting Him. Allowing Him to come in. Allowing Him to come in. Like the picture I said a while ago about Jesus standing at the door. There is no doorknob on that door as He faces it. We have to let Him come in. We have to open our heart's door and let Him come in. and let him come in, you see. Now notice, as we continue about God's attitude towards men and women away from God, in verse number 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now this verse comes with great healing, people. It comes with great healing in our lives, if we look at it. Notice, it was with tenderness that he comes and knocks. It's with tenderness that Jesus Christ knocks on our heart's door. He don't come and knock us down. He comes with tenderness. He comes with a sweet spirit knocking on our heart's door when we hear the word of God. It's with tenderness. Number two, it is with compassion. He loves us. Listen, I thank God he knocks on our heart's door when the word of God is preached and taught to us. It's with compassion. He loves us. Even after we're saved, folks, he still does. He knocks on our heart's door because he wants to direct our lives and help us in our life to be what God wants us to be. So it's with compassion that he continues to knock. He knocks on our heart's door. Also, it is with God's love, divine love, that he knocks on our heart's door. Did you know that God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you? You know there's people in the world that don't know that. They haven't heard it. And shame on us that they haven't heard it, because we need to tell them. We need to tell them. But we see here that it is with tenderness that he knocks. It is with compassion. It is with God's love that he knocks on our heart's door, knocks on heart's doors. He speaks these gentle words, and the Savior's desire is to become a guest in your heart and in your life. Jesus wants to be your best friend. He wants to be a guest in your life. Do you know that? He wants to be with you every day, no matter where you go, what you do. He wants to be your guest. He wants to be a guest in your life, you see. Now, as he stands there and knocks at the door, here's the door, here's Jesus. There's no knob on that door. He knocks on that door. Now, as he stands there and knocks on that door, I want to get something straight here. First of all, he don't have a sword in his hand. Okay? He don't have an army behind him that could tear down that door. That's not the way Jesus works. That's not the way God works. He don't work that way, you see. There's no sword. Observe in verse number 20. Behold, I. Who is I? Jesus. Behold, I is Jesus. Christ is graciously pleased by using his word and his spirit to come to the door of your heart and my heart and anybody's heart. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, he uses this. He draws nearer to us by his Spirit and his Word, and he speaks to our heart. He comes in a way of mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Thank God for his mercy, sparing me. Thank God for his love. He also comes ready to make a visit. To make a visit. Have you ever wanted to go visit someone real bad? I mean, real bad. It could be a friend, relative, whoever it is. And you couldn't hardly wait to get there. Huh? I think all of us have at times. We get preparation, get prepared, and get ready to go and go. We finally get there, and man, it's a glad reunion, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus' day is, he's knocking on people's hearts throughout this service, up on the hill, throughout services all over this world today. He's knocking on people's heart's door, and he can't hardly wait for somebody to open their door and let him come in. He can't wait. That's the gracious thing we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for us. No one loves you like Jesus, folks. No one loves me like Jesus. We see that he's gracious in doing this. So we see, this is him. Behold, I. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I. Notice the next word. He says, stand. Then notice his position. We notice his person, Jesus. We notice his position. He's standing. Now, where's he standing? Remember the picture? With the what? Door? Where's he standing? He's standing in front of the door, isn't he? He's standing in front of this door. The door is shut against him. The door is shut against the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I stand at the door. The door is not open. I stand at the door. Did you realize the heart of man is by nature shut up against Christ? The heart of man, by nature, is set up against Christ. It's because of unbelief, because of sin, sometimes literally because of not knowing. But the door is shut. Behold, I. Jesus stands at the door. He's standing against the door. The door is against him. Notice he says, I stand. Notice the next word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. At the door and knock. Jesus is ready. He's standing there. He's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door, folks, today. When he finds the heart shut, he does not immediately withdraw. Thank God for that. You remember how many times God dealt with you before you ever got saved? Wow. I don't know why he didn't give up on me, really. I really don't. Because he gave me too many times, really. But whenever Jesus knocks on the door, he does not immediately withdraw. He's waiting to be gracious to mankind when he knocks on the door. He wants to do something for that individual that only he can do. That's forgive his sins and save his soul. He wants to do that, folks. I'm glad today to know that that is the way God works, you see. So we see that he's gracious, the providence. Notice also, he says, if any man hear my voice. Notice perspective here. He says, if you hear my voice, if you hear my voice, he uses every means he can to awaken sinners and to cause them to open up to him. Every way he can, he does, to try to get us to see that we're lost and that we need to be saved. Again, he calls by his word, the word of God. He knocks by his spirit upon our conscience. It's the word of God and the spirit of God that's going to knock and draw people to Christ. Thank God today that he uses that. That is, if any man hear my voice, hear my voice. Notice the power. I will come. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will come into him. Folks, this is an invitation. This is an invitation to be saved. This is shows what happens when a person does get saved. You know, many times we illustrate this to people. I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. That's fellowship. That word sup means to fellowship. When you lead a person to Christ, you go to this verse and you read this verse to them. And you said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus has been speaking to your heart, hasn't he? And they say, yes, he has. Now notice what he says. If any man hear my voice, you've heard his voice, haven't you? You've heard him knocking. You've heard him knocking. Now notice what he says. If any man hear my voice and open the door. What you have done today, sir, or ma'am, whoever it may be, you have opened your heart's door to Jesus Christ. And you've invited him into your soul. And you've done that by faith. And Jesus said, if you've done that, he's going to fellowship with you. He's going to have fellowship with you. You're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. I thank God today for the knocking. I thank God today for the way God works with men and women, boys and girls. He works through knocking on our heart's door. Individually, folks. Individually. And when he does, we need to respond because he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to come into your life and save you. He wants to give you peace and joy in your life that you've never known before until you know Christ as Savior. I thank God today for this passage of Scripture. Now notice, I will come into him and sup with him. Those who open to him, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you open your heart's door to Jesus? Tell me. What happens? He comes in. Right. He comes in. And when he comes in, what does he do to you? He saves you. He saves you. He sups with you. Okay? He has fellowship with you. He will sup with you. He will give us fresh supplies of grace and comfort in our life. Because we've opened the door of our heart and allowed Jesus Christ to come in. We also see he'll stir up faith. When he comes in, he'll give us faith because we've done what Jesus said do, and Jesus has done exactly what he said he would do. He's saved us. He's supping with us. He's fellowshipping with us in our lives, you see, and we delight in the fact that we've been saved. I've never met a person yet that got saved that wasn't happy. Never. I'm talking about genuinely saved. I'll never forget the day. I'll never forget that moment. I knelt on an old country church altar and cried out my heart to Jesus Christ. Nobody took the Bible to show me how to be saved. I knew how to be saved. I'd heard it so many times. I went to the altar myself and talked to God myself and asked God to forgive my sins and come to my heart. And you know what? He did exactly what I asked him to do. You know what? It hasn't changed since. You know, I'll never forget the day, I'll never forget the moment that God saved me. Never will. Someone say, can you be saved and know it? Yes, you can. You can be saved. If you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it and not miss it. Amen? I thank God that you can be saved and know it and know that you're on your way to heaven because of Jesus Christ living within our heart. I'm thankful today to know that God, through Jesus Christ, is speaking here to this church. He's speaking to us as a church also, helping us to see how God works with men, women, boys, and girls in trying to get them saved. He does it through knocking, folks. He does it through knocking. He uses His Word and He uses His Spirit to do that, to convince us and to convict us that we need to be saved. Thank God for a loving God He is. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who's willing to come and die for you and I. Notice the guest here, the peace. When this guest comes into our life, the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us peace as He comes upon our invitation. We have to invite Him. He's not going to come on. Remember what I said? He don't have a sword in His hand when He stands before the door. He don't have an army to tear down the door. But if we'll by faith invite Him to come into our heart, He'll save us. He'll give us peace, joy, and happiness that we've never known. The door of our hearts can only be opened from the inside. We have to want to be saved. We have to realize we're lost to want to be saved. But once we realize we're lost and we want to be saved, if we will by faith open our heart's door, the greatest thing that could possibly happen to you will happen. That is, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. Not only you will be saved, you'll know it. You'll know it. The place and the attitude of Christ at the end of the church age right here. The place is at the end of the church age. We see here the attitude of Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open their heart, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. You know, Jesus Christ still saves, as they sang this morning. He still saves. We're not seeing a lot of it, but He still saves. He still saves. And he's going to keep on saving right on until that last person is saved. And whenever that last person is saved, that's when we're going to get out of here. Amen. I'm longing for that day, aren't you? Yes. I really am. I'm longing for that day. God's attitude towards men and women away from God. He's still knocking. He's still knocking. And you know what? He wants to use you and all of us to present the Word under the unction of the Spirit of God, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God might knock on somebody's heart. There's someone here today, God's knocking on your heart's door. Somewhere in this room today, God's knocking on your heart's door. He's saying, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what He's saying to somebody in this room today. I believe that with all my heart. Someone here today needs to be saved. Someone here today needs to be in fellowship with God. And God has been knocking at your heart's door today. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to turn Him away and let Him walk away quietly? Come back next Sunday, He'll do the same thing? Friend, I'm telling you, one day it's going to be over. One day He's not going to knock. He's going to say, I've given you the last chance. You can keep on going to church all you want to, but I'm not going to knock anymore. I'm not going to knock anymore because you don't want me to be your friend. You don't want to be in fellowship with me. You don't want to be in fellowship with me. May the Lord help us today to realize this. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In closing, I want to look at the hand that knocked on the door. First of all, we see it's a blood-stained hand. A nail had been driven in that hand, folks, for you and for me. That hand is a blood-stained hand that's knocking on your heart's door right now. Not only is it a blood-stained hand, it's a nail-torn hand. A nail had been through that hand for you and for me. It's a nail-torn hand that's knocking at your heart's door right now. Not only that, it is a hand that was wounded for you. A hand that was wounded for me. When we look at Jesus and what he went through for us, how can we turn him away? How can we turn him away? I'm so glad today to know that God had a plan. He had a plan before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created the world, created Adam and Eve, he had a plan. He knew what man was going to do. He knew Adam and Eve was going to sin. But he had a plan to send his son to come and die for mankind. Not only that, after Jesus Christ come, and Jesus Christ was going back to be with the Father, he had a plan to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, to work in our hearts, in our midst, and convict, and to knock on our heart's door, that we might, by faith, realize what God wants us to do. He wants to save us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be a friend to you. He wants to be my friend. I hope you can say without any doubt that he's my friend. He is my friend. He's the dearest friend you could possibly have today in your life. And I trust today that you know that today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What a God we have. What a God we serve. What a God that loves us. And I'll never understand why he loves us so much, but he does. He does. He loves us so much. We see he desires to be our friend. He recognizes our freedom. He'll not force himself upon us. He recognizes our freedom. He comes to us personally. And then we see that his knocking is an expression of salvation begins with the Savior. Salvation begins with the Savior. Jesus Christ is the one that works and draws us to him by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm glad today to know I'm saved. Are you? I'm glad to know that God is still working. He's still working on the hearts and lives of people, men, women, boys, and girls throughout the world. And we have a story to tell, folks. We really do. Be conscious this week wherever you go. God's going to put you in a place that you can be a witness. He'll put you in that place if you desire to. Don't pass it up. Whenever he speaks, whenever he directs you, stop, go, do it. Be what God wants us to be. Listen, we're in the greatest business in the whole world, folks. Saving business. Jesus Christ wants us to help people to be saved. We're not in the saving business, but Jesus Christ is. And he wants us to be a part of that by being a witness for him. By being a witness for him. I'm glad today to know that we have that opportunity. Jesus is knocking. Is he knocking on your heart today? Is he? If he is, why not respond? Why not open your heart's door and come to Jesus? Ask him to forgive your sin. Ask him to help you this week to be a witness. He's knocking. He don't only knock on sinners' hearts, he knocks on Christians' hearts too. He really does. And I trust today we'll be obedient to him. Let's all stand, please, with our eyes closed. As we allow the Holy Spirit now to work in our lives and do what he chooses to do in the next few moments. This is a very important time of the service. And I trust that we will again allow God to have his will and way. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for loving us. I thank you, dear God, for the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I thank you for the means you've chosen, dear God, to try to draw people to you and to be their friend and, God, be in their lives and save their souls. And God, I pray today, Lord, as we come to this time now, Lord, may you knock upon hearts today. May people not harden their hearts, but Lord, may they respond the way you will have them to. Lord, we give the service to you now. We ask for your will to be done. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.